So we celebrate tonight the beautiful feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and we also celebrate the World Day of the Sick. Where can we start on such a beautiful feast day? I have had the sense since early this morning that I should start with a reflection on water. Because I had a ministry in Makati this morning, I had to get up early and get ready to go. I had to be there before 8 o'clock, so I had to leave early. I got up this morning, no water. No water. I said, of all days, what a strange day to not have any water, because this is the day we celebrate water being given to us at Lourdes. So I had to go unclean. Not exactly unclean, but you get the idea. We didn't have any water. And then when we got to the seminary there, started to rain. I said, oh, maybe that's the point here, because water from heaven, rain, water from heaven. And it rained this afternoon. And I was afraid it was going to rain tonight, and we wouldn't be able to go to the grotto, but it looks like it stopped raining. So after the Mass, we can go visit the Lourdes Grotto. So there's water from Manilad, there's the water from heaven, rainwater, there's water from Lourdes, and then there's, in the Gospel today, the Pharisees, very strange twist on water, what Jesus calls hypocrisy. They're focused on the use of water, washing their hands, washing cups, washing jugs, washing kettles, washing beds, but not with obeying God and not with cleansing their hearts. So they're missing the whole point of what the gifts of God are for, not to establish that we're holy, but in order to serve, in order to serve God and serve our brothers and sisters. So water, I don't know, there's a lot we could say about water. Certainly water is God's gift to us and is at the service of the human family. In fact, we value water in its relation to life. Water just sitting there by itself is of not much value, but water serves life, and especially human life. The water at Lourdes, remember what Our Lady told Saint Bernadette: drink the water and wash in the water. Drink the water and wash the water. That's what we do with water. We drink it and we wash in it. And when she washed herself with the water, she got mud on her face, and they thought she had lost her mind. She was being obedient to Our Lady. I love Saint Bernadette. Saint Bernadette, she's one of my good friends, and she obeyed Our Lady. She drank the water. She washed in the water. But as far as I know, she was never healed by the water. I don't think she ever experienced a miraculous healing due to the water, which a lot of other people have. And we know that that's part of the gift of the water at Lourdes, is for healing. But Saint Bernadette was a very pure soul, a very transparent person, very simple. And maybe she didn't need the water like the rest of us do. And of course, the central figure at Lourdes is not Bernadette at all, but Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the perfect example of a pure soul, of an immaculate soul. She told Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, I am the Immaculate Conception. So Mary didn't need water either. She was already clean. We need water. We need water. We are unclean, not just because we didn't take a bath this morning, but because of our sin. Our uncleanness is the result of sin. So the greatest use of water of all, the highest use of water, is in washing away sin, which is what happens in the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is even better, even greater, in fact, much greater than the miraculous cures that take place at Lourdes, or that the miraculous cures that take place through the use of the water of Lourdes. Because a physical healing is nothing by comparison to a spiritual healing, and baptism is the greatest spiritual healing. It's not just a healing, it's the beginning of a whole new life. It's a death and resurrection, baptism. So we recall today on this Feast of Our Lady and this day in which water was miraculously given to us, we recall what water has already given us, that is, new life in Christ. Well, to understand a little bit more about what God has in mind for us and why he gives us water, including the water of baptism, it's good to go back to God's original plan for the human family, his wonderful plan. We prayed in the psalm, how wonderful is your name in all the earth, that God is wonderful and what he does is wonderful. And today's first reading brought us back again to the very beginning, the story of creation. We started pondering it yesterday, the first 4 days. Today we ponder the fifth day and the sixth day, and then on the seventh day God rested. And the crowning of creation, the high point of creation, is the creation of the human person. The Hebrew term for it is Adam. Let us create Adam. Adam. That means person, human person. It doesn't simply mean the male human person, but the human person. That's why, mas mabuti sa Tagalog, let us create tao, mga tao. Lalaki, babae. So in English, you can't say it very easily. You can't say, let us create man, because people say, well, what about the women? Well, no, that means men and women. That's what it was created. And this passage in Genesis chapter 1 tells us what God had in mind when he, not only when he created everything, but in particular when he created man. In fact, this is one of the crucial texts for understanding what a human person is. This line, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27, one of the most critical verses in the whole Old Testament. Now, it just happens that this morning I was asked to give a talk on Christian anthropology. I was talking to seminarians so I could use language like that, but one of the first things I said to them is, when you get ordained, because they're fourth-year seminarians, I said, when you get ordained and you go to the parishes, don't use words like Christian anthropology, because nobody will know what you're talking about. But I said, but to you, I have to say, what we have to start with is, what is the Christian understanding of what a person is, what a human person is? And this text tells us an enormous amount about what God's plan for the human person is, what God's plan for us is, who we are. We are, first of all, created by God. We didn't just appear out of nowhere. We're not accidents. We're not the result of natural forces or random forces. We are created by God, a deliberate decision of God to create us. And that's true of every single one of us. Secondly, we are images of God. We're like God. We are icons of God. So that whenever we see a human person, we see something like God, which is not true of any other material creation. So we're created by God. We're images of God. We are male and female. That's how God made us. We are, the human family is male and female. That's the only two choices there are. That should be obvious to everyone, but in modern times, as you know, there's a lot of confusion about the genders. So there are two genders, and we are either one or the other. As by God's design, from the very beginning, he created us male and female. Four, he gave us dominion over all the rest of creation, over the whole earth. Be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the living things that move on the earth. God gave us authority over creation. That's his plan from the beginning, and we still have that authority. And then, the very end of this description of the sixth day, God saw that it was very good. What is very good? The human person is very good. We're created not just good like everything else is good. We're created good in an additional way, or in a higher way. Very good. So I just picked out five things in a couple of seconds there. Created by God, images of God, male and female, dominion over the earth, very good. And there's more things we could say about it, but the point here is that God's plan is for us to be like this, like him, and it's a very good plan. sin messes all this up. Sin messes up the planet, which is why we need healing. Healing. We need to be made clean when we are unclean. We need a way to be restored. And that's, of course, that's the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior, the healer, the restorer. The message of Mary at Lourdes always points us to Jesus Christ. And the gift of the water at Lourdes points us to baptism and to the healing that takes place through the sacraments. So as we come together now, this is World Day of the Sick. Yes, we pray for healing. Of course we do. Even yesterday, we pray for healing. The day before, we pray for healing. When we know somebody is sick, we pray for their healing, and we should. Healing comes from God. But in a special way today, we focus on the sick because we know that the sick people are chosen and beloved of God. They are also images of God. They're also male and female. They also have dominion over the earth. They're also very good, but they're afflicted. And so we pray for their healing. And when people are healed, it's a sign to us of the goodness of God, of the love of God, a sign to us of our dependence on God, but also a sign to us of the call to be whole. God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be holy, pure, forever. So it's true that not everyone gets healed when we pray for them. That's up to God. But healing is always a sign of the love of God and always a sign to us of what God's plan was for us from the beginning and is for us now and what he always wants for us. That is the best possible healing, our restoration in glory. In Lourdes, if anyone has ever gone there, you know that at Lourdes, the sick always get the front seats. In fact, people in wheelchairs, we have two of them here in wheelchairs tonight, they always get the front row, the first ones to get to the water, the front row in the masses, the front row at the prayers for healing, sacraments. They are the privileged ones because they're signs to us of God's love for us all. So if God loves the sick and takes care of the sick, and God puts priority on the weak and the sick, that's a lesson to all of us. So we're going to be praying for the sick tonight. In fact, this Mass is all prayers for the sick. But after the Mass, we'll be going to the grotto. Now, ironically, the only people who can't get to the grotto are the people in the wheelchairs. So the wheelchair people in wheelchairs, we can pray for them on the lower level here. But the rest will be praying over you using the water from Lourdes at the grotto. Okay, so with that in mind, we give thanks to God for the gift of water, the gift of water, and the greatest use of water, which is for our restoration, our spiritual life.